Saturday tradition. The Sports Corner on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
And good morning to everyone in Southeast Louisiana. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair here with Stan Gravois on this gorgeous Louisiana Saturday morning. And we've got a fun, jam-packed show coming your way over the next 2 hours to celebrate the opening of the high school football season. We've got BJ Young in 15 minutes to talk about the Tarpons' victory over Central Lafourche. We've got Chris Dugas, who will be coming on at 10:30 to talk about Thibodeau's hard-fought defeat against McDonough 35. Then at the bottom of the hour, we are going to have Gary Hill with Terrebonne. His team scored a thrilling victory over South Terrebonne, 41-34 in one of the games of the night locally last night. We'll talk about an incredible individual performance in that game from a young Terrebonne Tiger football player. We bring Stan Gravois in. Stan, this was a night last night that we had been waiting for such a long time. And it didn't disappoint. There were a lot of very good games locally, a lot of scores that were kind of interesting, and we'll talk about that over the next 10, 15 minutes. But it was great to get the first week in the books, and by and large, without any type of hiccup or any type of issue.
For everything we've gone through over the last few months, it certainly looked quote-unquote normal the last two nights of high school football on Thursday and Friday night. That was fun to see, and you had the bands and the cheerleaders there. So the full pageantry of high school football, yeah, I thought that things went off really well for the first week. I know there was a little trouble over in North Louisiana with one or two high schools maybe not getting to play, but for the most part, I think things went off really well.
I think one of the big results last night that maybe is going to be surprising to a bunch of people is the result over with the E.D. White and Assumption game. E.D. White made a loud statement last night, beating Assumption 25-0. This is a Mustangs team that, we thought were going to be very, very good defensively, and they still are going to be very, very good defensively, but we thought they would be very explosive offensively. So to struggle really on both phases last night tells me one of two things. One, E.D. White is likely awfully good in second year under Coach Kyle Lassang, and B, Assumption may need a little more time to kind of piece it together with the first-year coach in Menard.
You know, the one thing you talk about high school football, and usually it comes up is when you're talking about a team specifically, is they're really good on this side of the ball, they're pretty good on that side, but boy, you know, this is their strong suit. I don't think that you have that problem at E.D. White right now. I think it's a well-rounded team. Obviously, they've always done special teams really well, but it seems like they've gotten some things together on offense, especially in the quarterback position. I think this kid, Kalen Griggs, is going to be really good for them there. Have some good running backs. They can throw the ball a little bit. And then on defense, obviously, if you shut down a Keith Menard team, because Keith is obviously based around the offensive part of the game, and the talent level that Assumption has, to shut down that talent level is really impressive. So, yeah, I agree with you when you say that that is the one score. I don't necessarily think that E.D. White winning the game was a super huge surprise. I think the way they won the game was a big surprise.
I agree with that. And another one where you look at the spread of the final result and maybe be surprised was the game we had here on the network with South Lafourche getting a 38-10 win over Central Lafourche. That was a game that, quite frankly, could have been far worse on the scoreboard if not for South Lafourche turning over the ball five times. When was the last time you've heard of a team turning it over five times, including in opposing territory a couple of times, and still scoring 38 points? Coach B.J. Young showcasing that spread offense and that, you know, mixture of run and pass. They're throwing the ball down the seams. They're hitting the guys in the flats, and they're also utilizing a power running game. They looked really good last night against Central Lafourche, getting a big-time rivalry win.
You never get a feel for the game. Obviously, I listened to Brian, you and Brian last night on parts of the game. You're not quite sure. I did see highlights that we had over at HTV. And unfortunately, the highlights we had, Casey, were in that first quarter, a little bit of the second quarter, where there were a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
And, until they kind of got it together. But when you have the Petrie kids, and you have Joelbert, who I don't know where he came from, but boy, he looked really good on film last night. Obviously, Gisclair is going to look good in the quarterback position and help them there. You know, there are a lot of people who are against the two-quarterback system because they think that if you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. I'm not opposed to this on the high school level, and I think that that could work for South Lafourche. There was one specific play that I saw where they threw it, I think it was Joubert, behind the line of scrimmage, and then he ends up throwing it back to Gisclair, who was wide open. And I thought, there are playmakers on that team. So I'm sure Coach Young is extremely happy. That's another one where I'm not surprised South Lafourche won the game, but to dominate the game the way they did was a little surprising to me.
And the defensive front for the Tarpons, give kudos to Coach Will Broussard, first-year defensive coordinator. That defense was mean and nasty last night, and they've got a big challenge coming up against Lutcher, but a great starting point in the opener against Central Lafourche. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the big-time performance last night from a young man who was getting some college attention before but is now going to be getting a whole heck of a lot more. That is Jalen Lucas, his first game as a junior last night. He powers his Terrebonne Tigers past South Terrebonne in a thriller, 41-34. Lucas had 304 rushing yards and four touchdowns, making plays in special teams as well. He accounted for 442 total yards on the night for Terrebonne. The young man was electric. I saw some clips from you guys on HTV last night. The young man was simply electric. A huge performance powering his team to a rivalry win against South Terrebonne.
That's actually the game that I was at. South Terrebonne came out of the gate quick in this one. They ran up 21 points. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not sure if Terrebonne's going to be able to answer this, because early on, Jalen Lucas was not a big part of the offense for Terrebonne. And then probably late first quarter into the second quarter, he took over. And I was, a lot of the time at the game, Julie Baudouin, who actually works for Tiger Details and does her own work on the side as a freelance and does a terrific job. She's an ex-student of mine, and just a little shout out to Julie. We were talking, she was there specifically to do a documentary related to Mason Smith, and she kind of turned at halftime to me and said, number 12 is electric. And I thought, that is the best word you could use to describe Jalen Lucas. He was electric. He changed that game. There were some big time individual efforts in that game last night. Really a good football game. If there was one game that we would consider the best competitively played football game, it would probably be that one. Obviously, Mason Smith, we talk about him all the time. So that's just sort of a given. But I'm going to tell you what, South Terrebonne's got a quarterback who's a junior named Christian Arsenault. This kid from last year to this year has improved tremendously. He's got the size. He looks like a college quarterback back there in the pocket. He throws the ball extremely well. 8-4A football is going to be interesting, Casey. I'm telling you, you got South Lafourche, who is doing great. South Terrebonne had a good effort against Terrebonne last night. Vanderbilt, I went to that game against Berwick. They're good. That's going to be interesting. Assumption's now going to have a chip on their shoulder. That is going to be certainly an interesting district. But again, back to Jalen Lucas. Man, if he does what he did last night throughout this year, we're going to see all of these guys coming back to Terrebonne again like they did for Mason Smith, because he's going to be on everybody's radar.
When was the last time South Terrebonne threw the ball 29 times? Arsenault was 17 of 29, 180 yards, two scores. And he also found a little chemistry with a weapon out there on the edges. Caden Chauvin, 10 catches last night for two touchdowns. So it looks like that sort of evolution in that South Terrebonne offense was kind of taking fold last night.
Yeah, and they went out of the pistol a lot. You don't see teams that often running a wing T offense going out of the pistol. I talked to Mike Barba, who called the plays to South Terrebonne last night. He credits Chandler Arsenault, who is the offensive line coach. Of course, Chandler was an All-Southland Conference player at Nichols for the last, 4 years before coaching at Plaquemine, and now he's back at South Terrebonne. He said they've opened up that wing T. They did look very good on offense. This is a good football team. You know, obviously Terrebonne playing 5A football, they've been good the last few years, and it was nip and tuck. Now, I will say this, in the middle of that game, and a lot of people didn't realize that game ended extremely late, like close to 10 o'clock, and that was because a young man from South Terrebonne was hurt. My understanding, without giving out names or any specific information, that although the injury is serious, he is going to be okay. Obviously not one of those life-threatening things. But it stopped that game for about 25 minutes, and that game shifted just a little bit at that because it was very solemn for a while, and unfortunately those are the things that go along with football. So our thoughts are with that family as we hope that everything gets back to normal for him.
Amen to that. So our local scoreboard, we've got Terrebonne 41, South Terrebonne 34. We've got Kenner Discovery Academy beating CCA 34-20, South Lafourche 38, Central Lafourche 10, St. James 55, Riverdale 6, E.D. White 25, Assumption 0, McDonough 35, and a little bit of a shocker, beating Thibodeau 14-13. And then some Thursday night results, we had Vanderbilt Catholic roaring past Berwick. Let me try to find the final score on that one. They won big. I'll get that number in just a minute. And then we also had H.L. Bourgeois roaring past Ellender in the season opener, 41-17. So kudos to both teams, and that Vanderbilt scores 48-7. Also, Ascension Christian 35, Homa Christian 18. So week one in the books, one down, seven to go. And then I think after watching last night, it's going to be more than just seven to go, because I think we've got local playoff teams galore around our area.
Yep, agree with that. And quite honestly, E.D. White and Vanderbilt are already in the playoffs, so you got at least two. So there you go. I'm not crazy about that system, but that's what it is. So, yeah, I do think we're going to have a lot of teams in the area. The interesting thing is I don't think it'll be the standard teams we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. I think there might be a little changes coming up, and that always makes it fun and exciting.
No doubt. So before our first commercial break, a reminder, we're going to talk some LSU in hour two. We're going to talk some New Orleans Saints in hour two. Oh boy, the Saints are hurting to find players. They're going to be without six starters on Sunday. Some breaking news from the NFL. Cam Newton has just tested positive for COVID-19. He will be out on Sunday. That could affect our pick'em game, which will be on the bottom of the second hour. So let's catch a quick break when we get back. BJ Young from Tarpon Land, South Lafourche's 1-0. We'll talk to the ball coach about it. Here on the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, and 102.7 FM, the new KLEB.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer, and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. I've been a prosecutor for nearly 18 years. In that time, I've worked alongside law enforcement to convict some of Lafourche's most dangerous offenders. But being tough on crime is only part of the equation. I have worked hard to develop and implement programs geared toward the prevention of crime, making our community safer for all of us.
Early voting begins October 16th and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988. As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
We were all happy to have high school football back last night. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. But one guy who may be as happy as them all is South Lafourche football coach B.J. Young, but his Tarpons played a nice game last night, getting to 1-0 over Central Lafourche. B.J., good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm doing well.
Coach, you said in your pregame coach's interview that you wanted your team to be more physical than Central Lafourche, and you must be smiling from ear to ear because on offensive line and defensive line, you guys beat those boys up. Talk about the physicality of your team last night.
Yeah, you know, our guys came out and they played hard. I thought we played really physical, you know, and hats off to Coach Meyer and his staff and those kids over there because, you know, they got a good ball club, and, you know, Coach Meyer's a great coach, and you know, there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to make corrections and they're going to come back stronger. So, you know, hats off to those guys. But, man, our kids really came out and they played well. You know, they played hard and they were physical, you know, and we challenged them before the game and all week to be the more physical team. And not just because of Central Lafourche or, you know, it's just in general. And that's going to be every week that we have to be the most physical team.
I hate to be a little negative because you scored 38 points, but you also turned the ball over 5 times. I guess you could look at it as a situation where, heck, we scored 38 points and turned it over 5 times. But I guess the flip side of that is you're probably wanting to clean up that part of the game as far as turnovers, right?
Absolutely. We met with the kids this morning, and they're out there running a little bit. You know, that was our main focus is, We can't turn the ball over 5 times. It's just ball security issues. And, you know, that like I say, you know, I said it last, that falls on me with Matt fumbling 2 balls. We got to work more ball security stuff in practice, you know. So we talked about it this morning, and we're going to make the corrections this week. You know, I talked to Coach Rod last night. He called me and congratulated me. And he's like, dang, Coach, you know, 38 points. I said, yeah, man. He said, and 5 turnovers. He started laughing. I said, yeah. He said, man, the defense must have played lights out. I said, man, they did. You know, we put those guys in some tough situations. And, you know, Coach Will and his staff did a great job all week getting those guys ready to play. And those kids really came out and, you know, got those stops. And that's complimentary football. And that's signs of, you know, having a good football team.
Coach, you're giving it to Braxton Peacher back there. And the kid runs like the Tasmanian devil. I mean, he runs like his hair's on fire. And then whenever he needs a breather, you give the ball to this Brody Peacher kid, who runs the same way. Talk about, you know, that you got 2 guys back there that are running the ball violently between the tackles.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if y'all know, that's 2 brothers, you know. So, Braxton's a great running back. You know, there's some clip, you know, and our line did a great job. You know, we preached all week. You know, they do a lot of front Central Lafourche with stunting and blitzing and or pressuring. And we got to play with our eyes up, and I thought they did. You know, they gave him some holes to run through. And he, when he gets through, he makes the most of it. And then there was some plays we watching, you know, that Central Lafourche, they right there, man. They right there. And Braxton Peacher's running through 4 or 5 arm tackles, you know. So just tough running. And then, you know, he cramps up a little bit. So we put his brother in the game. And we don't skip a beat, you know. And that's hats off to our kids and the preparation that they prepare all week. You know, we move them around and they learn different positions, you know. And Darren Duce is another one. He's our sniffer. And he steps in and he goes to the F and you know, same thing. We don't miss a beat. So, man, that's just our type of kids we have. You know, they care a lot about it. So, whatever you ask them to do, they do.
It has been said that if you have 2 quarterbacks in your system, you maybe don't have any. I don't agree with that. I mentioned it in the opening to Casey that on the high school level, it's great to have 2 quarterbacks. Does it present any problems of how you're doing things going forward? Are y'all starting to get a feel for this going, you know, from what happened last night?
Yeah, look, I thought Matt played great, you know, really his first start. And he hasn't played since middle school. And, man, he came out and the moment wasn't too big for him. And he, you know, he led the team to a win. So I thought he played great. And we got some things we're going to correct. but, you know, I'm really proud of Matt, the way he came out and played. You know, I'm proud of Pat as well. You know, he gets in there on a trick play, catches the ball, makes the guy miss. You know, and real positive on the sideline, you know, cheering for his guys. And, you know, it's tough sometimes, you know, in that spot. And, you know, I'm just really proud of Pat, the way he handled it. And, you know, he's a team guy. You know, he's in there cheering. And we come in the locker room after, and the guys all excited, and they dancing and stuff, and he's dancing too, you know. So, and I know it's tough, but, you know, so hats off to both the guys. You know, they battle it out in practice every day. He, Pat's not the type of kid to just, you know, lay down and go in the tank. You know, he goes every day to work, just like Matt does. You know, they get equal reps. And, you know, just really proud of both kids. You know, like I said, I think Matt played a great game. I thought he did everything we asked him to do. And I'm proud of Pat as well for handling it the way he handled it.
Coach, I thought that on both sides of the ball, one of the keys last night was first down. And what I mean by that is on first down, you guys were getting 5 or 6 yards, controlling down a distance. On the other end, you guys were pushing them back 2 or 3 yards. It felt like when you had the ball, I was saying 3rd and 2 a lot. When they had the ball, I was saying 3rd and 22 a lot. Talk about the way that you guys were able to stay ahead of the chains and also keep them behind the chains.
Yeah, you know, that's, like I say, that's off the Coach Will and his staff, man. They prepared, and they got together a good game plan. And it's something we work every week. You know, we preach a lot about third downs and red zones. You know, we got plays that we run down there, you know, week to week, and we work at different scenarios in practice. You know, 2 minute being another one, 4 minute being one. And then third downs, and then we'll work some red zone because that's all crucial points that'll win or lose your game. You know, converting on third downs and when you're getting in the red zone, you know, punching it, or when there's a sudden change, you know, we get that turnover. Trey Randazzo dives and gets that pick, which is a great play. And the next play, we punch it from the 20, you know. So it's things like that that there's momentum in the game that some people kind of sometimes take for granted. And, you know, we work it a lot. And like I say, our guys really care. So, you know, it's just not another period of practice. You know, they take it serious. So, but, yeah, man, I agree with you a lot, Casey. I feel like every time I looked up, it was 3rd and 22 or 4th and 15. And, you know, we were converting a lot on third down and converted a big 4th down at the end to keep the clock running and end up punching it right there too. So, yeah, man, just really proud of our guys and our coaching staff for last night.
Things went well on the field, so I think I'm allowed to ask this big C word, COVID. All of the protocol go off pretty well last night, or did y'all wake up this morning and think there's some things you have to clean up related to that?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it went smooth. You know, look, I'll be honest with you. There's always week to week, you learn a new stuff about it, and you realize, man, we can maybe do this to make it better. Or, you know, what about if we try this? You know, it's never going to be, I don't know if it'll ever be 100%, you know, I guess to the standard that we expect it to be, you know, because it's new. You know, it's been here since March, but it's still new in the sense that, you know, on Friday night, you know, dealing with it, or when they're in the locker room, you know, having their mask on. And then, like, this morning we feed them breakfast where they take their mask off, so making sure they separate it while they eat. You know, so it's just extra stuff that you know, is new to everybody. And, you know, I feel like everybody's kind of fighting the same battles. But, man, we're doing the best that we can because we want to get our kid. You know, we only guaranteed 8, and some high schools in the state didn't get to play last Friday, you know. So we're stressing to them to really take care of yourselves and make sure you're just being smart while you're here and while you're at home. Because the last thing we want is to not play a football game, you know, because of the coronavirus. So, like I say, you know, there's some things that I think we need to get better at on a Friday as far as the coronavirus goes and our precautions. But, yeah, man, it went good, and everything's always better after a win, you know.
Along those same lines, you guys are going to be indirectly impacted by the coronavirus. And what I mean by that is your week 3 opponent, Belchase, is sidelined for their first 2 weeks because of COVID. So talk about, you know, the challenges of, hey, you guys may be following your, you know, all your protocols and everything like that, but if there are outbreaks in other places, it could affect your schedule as well.
Absolutely. You know, I talked to Coach the other day. Matter of fact, I talked to him yesterday. He called me, and that's kind of what I told him. I said, man, if I was you, man, I'd be super depressed. You know, you got all this build up, and you're ready to go, and, you know, something like that happens. And he kind of agreed, you know, like, it's tough. And but, yeah, Casey, you know, It's you just never know. You know, you prepare so hard and you get to Thursday and you might get a phone call saying that, you know, they had an outbreak or something. And, you know, you're not playing, or you got to try to find somebody else to play, you know. And the way I see it is, you know, if somebody does call and you're not playing, they So they have some posts that there's a website or something that with teams that might be looking for games as well. And, you know, I'm not concerned about our kids' bodies, you know, because if you're planning to play on Friday anyway, you know, I'm not concerned about if a team calls on Wednesday and they can't play if we pick up another team. You know, the only thing is you put all that time in and you're preparing for a certain opponent, and you'll get another one. But, you know, the guys we have on our coaching staff, you know, they'll stay up all night if they have to make sure that these kids are ready to go. You know, we got a sign on our door that, you know, when you walk out to that practice field as a coach, you got, if you're not ready to give 110%, that's not, you're cheating the kids, you know. So, you know, whatever it may be, if something happens, we get a call on Wednesday that a team can't play, you know, we'll stay up and, you know, our coaches will get it done to make sure that our kids are prepared.
So back to positive. You play Lutcher this week. You are a River Region guy. Obviously, you know, right there at Hawnville, you are far from Lutcher, and then you're at EA. Tell us what you know about Lutcher this specific year and the tradition of Lutcher for any of our listeners that don't know.
Yeah, tradition. That's the thing now. You know, you think about Lutcher High School, the immediate word that I think about is champions, you know, championships. So those guys have tradition. They do things the right way. You know, Coach Jenkins won a lot of games. You know, he's won at Lutcher. He goes to St. James. They go to the Dome. He goes back to Lutcher, wins the state championship. They do things the right way. They're going to have guys all over the field. They're going to be well coached. We know that off the jump, you know. I played them when I was at Hawnville. You know, they had all them guys that everybody knows about. You know, Jarvis Landry, the Gavin Websters, the Blaine Gauthiers of the world, you know. And then I get to EA, and we coach against them twice, and the running back's Rondell Mealy's son. man, they got dudes all over the place, and they're going to be ready to go, and we got to make sure we get our guys ready to go because, like I told them, you know, we 1-0 right now, and you enjoy, but we can't get complacent, and next week we got to be 1-0. You know, we got to be 1-0 again, so. And we're just going to take it one game at a time and, you know, let them fall as they may.
Coach, congrats on the win, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Absolutely, man. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. That is B.J. Young with South Lafourche. And Stan, just you could see it first in the numbers because they've got more kids than what they had in years past. But in the energy and the vibrance on the sideline, those kids are very excited and very bought in. And you know as well as I do, you don't always have to be the most talented. You don't always have to be, you know, the most athletic. But if you believe strongly in what you're doing, you could convince teenagers to do things beyond their means. And the Tarpons right now could be in a situation where they could be a very scary team to play because those kids are 100% bought in.
You and I have talked about this multiple times. I think there are two teams that kind of mirror each other, or two schools, I should say, not necessarily teams, and that is South Lafourche and South Terrebonne. Obviously, yep. Not far removed from each other as the crow flies. If you see both of these teams playing high school football on a Friday night against an opponent, pregame looks uneven. A lot of times in pregame, you will look at their opponent and go, oh, my goodness, this might not even be a very fair or competitive game. But there's something that if you have the right guy, and obviously I think Coach Young is getting this out of those kids, If you get that, whatever it is, and I'll call it the it factor again, if you get it out of them, they just – listen, I'll say that about South Terrebonne last night. I'm watching pregame, and I'm watching Terrebonne stretch, and I'm watching South Terrebonne, and anybody up in the stands would sit there and go, well, it looks a little uneven as far as the size of the kids and such. But there's something, and I think when South Lafourche has that something, watch out. And obviously, from what I hear about what went on last night, just not from you now, from other people too, from some of the Central Lafourche parents, they felt very strongly that South Lafourche might have that it. Now, I guard against going all in because of that honeymoon factor of new coaches, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And obviously, Central Lafourche would have loved to have had it last night, and it seems like it was taken away from them by the Tarpons. So, again, you know, kudos to what Coach Young is doing, and it does sound like they're on the right track.
No doubt about it. So let's catch a quick break. We'll go from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other end of the spectrum. We'll have Thibodaux High School football coach Chris Dugas on the line. His Tigers had a hard-fought defeat against McDonough 35. We'll talk to him about that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
This is Brent Abity, and I need your vote. I am an honors graduate of Tulane Law School, was a deputy sheriff for 11 years, and a volunteer firefighter for 10 years. I was an emergency medical technician, roasted on hot rig floors and baked in hot attics fixing air conditioners. I am like most of you hardworking regular people in Lafourche Parish. I am not perfect, but as a Catholic, I pray for forgiveness. Today, I am asking for your vote for me for district attorney on November 3rd, paid for by Brent for DA.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 FM KLEB. We on the phone lines now, we have Thibodeau High School football coach Chris Dugas. Coach Dugas, good morning, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Tough night for your football team last night. Lose a hard-fought game against a very good McDonough 35 team. Tell us a little bit about how the game went for you guys.
First half, we did a pretty good job of getting ahead. You know, we were up 13-0 at half. And in the second half, we had some special teams mishaps. You know, we give up a long kick return on the first play of the second half, which gives us a short field. Because defensively, we really played well all night. But they got the short field, and they were able to score. But on the ensuing kickoff, we give up an onside kick. We don't watch the ball off the foot. You know, we had told the kids in the huddle before that play, don't be surprised if they try to get a momentum change, make sure we see the ball off the foot, and we just got in our drop a little bit too soon on the front line, and they were able to get an onside kick on us right there, another short field and a score. You know, they faked a punt late in the game. I mean, we hit the guy 3 yards before the sticks, and he drags us for three. He's a pretty good player. You know, the kid that runs the fake punt is a kid that's getting a lot of D1 attention right now. So they have some stud athletes out there. But we kind of killed ourselves in the game, you know, with the special teams mishaps, the missed extra point, the fake punt, the long kickoff return, the onside kick. We punt one that Luke just mishits, and it goes for like a five-yard punt. We block one punt. We probably should have blocked two more that we in position to block, and we just don't lay out and take it off the foot. So, you know, a lot of special teams mistakes. And then the penalties on offense really, really killed us. We get, you know, big plays or decent plays down the field, and then, a holding penalty to negate a play, a block in the back to negate a touchdown. Ferrante pops on the screen, and then we get a block in the back. So, I mean, the game, I thought, should have been 28-0 at the half, us. And you know, if we would have gotten to that point, we would have been in pretty good shape, because I think we were pretty solid pass defensively, and they wanted to run it. You know, their offensive line was pretty good, but we were able to pretty much shut down the run. So, I mean, our defense, I thought if they don't get two short fields, we could have very well had a shutout last night. But, you know, we just got to pick up the pieces and move on.
I got a call from Coach Rod after the game, and my first statement to him when I saw the final score was, "Is if you'd have told me that Thibodeau lost by, you know, 1 point, I would have thought that, you know, it would have been a situation where it wasn't special team involved." And he said probably the biggest, and he did mention the onside kick, but was when they went, not went for it, but obviously on that punting situation, got a first down when they faked the punt. He said they got it just by inches, and now you're telling me the guy actually dragged a couple of your kids just to get that. He said that was a huge momentum swing as far as, but he did feel exactly like you are saying, that would just, it was one of those nights where things didn't go your way, right?
Yeah, you know, and the fake punt, we got it defended really well. You know, like I said, we hit the guy 3 to 4 yards, maybe even 4 yards behind the sticks. And, I mean, he just drags us forward, you know. And, you know, just a total effort play by their kid, you know. And we were expecting them to try a fake because we had blocked one and pretty much could have blocked every one of them. So we were kind of expecting a fake at that point, and we defended it really well. Our guys did a great job of defending it. We just got to get the guy to the ground. You know, we just got to make a solid tackle, get the guy to the ground. We got three guys right there to make the tackle. And, you know, we make contact with the guy, like I said, about 3 yards behind the sticks, and we just got to get the guy on the ground at that point. If we get the guy on the ground, we're going to have the ball in midfield, and, you know, who knows what happens in that situation.
Coach, 7 of 16 through the air last night. I know that you're going to be wanting to see a little bit more efficiency from your passing game. How do you clean that up?
Well, you know, protection was we had some protection issues last night. We knew we were going to get some blitzes from them, and we had a couple of issues in protection last night, just getting our shoulders turned on a couple of plays. And also, we got to do a better job out on the edges with our receivers. We knew we were going to get some man coverage from them, and they were going to be physical out on the edges. We got jammed up a little bit, you know, at the receiver position, to where a couple of times we could have had some plays if we avoid the contact and we get off of jam coverage. So this week in practice, that's going to be a big deal. We're going to work on getting off of jam coverage a little more, and also, you know, pass protection-wise, just keeping our shoulders square in the line of scrimmage. A couple of times we just got our shoulders turned, leaned forward, and I tried to explain to the guys, you know, you lean forward, I can just walk up to you and pull your jersey, and you're going to tip over. So we got to get back and get a good Z at the knee and sit more in pass protection instead of, you know, lunging forward on that stuff. And that's just early season type stuff. You're seeing stuff right now that you would normally see in a scrimmage and jamboree, and you got a little time to fix it. But, you know, no excuses. We just need to get it done now.
A lot of times you assess your team after the game on Friday night, then you come back in on Saturday morning and watch film, and that assessment is totally – either wrong or you have a different perception. After watching film, things you thought were good and things you thought were just really bad?
I didn't think anything was particularly really bad. You know, I thought, protection for the most part was really bad at the end of the night. But a lot of times we had time and it was just we couldn't get off of coverage. You know, Luke and I talked a little bit. He missed a couple of reads last night. You know, but the game got a lot faster this week from Mac 35, from South Terrebonne the week before and Mac 35 this week. A lot of speed, you know. And like I told the guys last year, you know, those guys opened up with Carr, then St. Aug, then us, and went 0-3 and then turned around and ran to the semifinals. And they got a lot of those guys back from last year. And it's very possible that they have that type of season again. So I think PowerPoint-wise, we're not going to be hurting a whole lot because I see them winning out from here on out because of the schedule that they have. They'll be the front runner in their district. And if they stay healthy, I can see them going 8-0 pretty easily. So, you know, they'll be good for us for power points, even though we lose the game. It's really not the end of the world for us. We just need to get back on track. And, you know, we're hitting district play next week. So it's kind of like a new season again. You start 0-0 again because you want to get to 1-0 in district.
I was just about to ask you about the next week game taking on Central Lafourche. So that's usually a late season game. This year you get it earlier in the year. Talk about, you know, some of the things you're seeing in the Trojans and some of the things you'd like to clean up before next Friday.
Well, definitely we need to clean up the penalties. I think if we go, you know, one step forward and two steps back all the time, then it's going to be tough to put the ball in the end zone. And that was a lot of last night. You know, we get good, positive plays, and we get a block in the back downfield, or we get a hold downfield, you know. Just really dumb penalties that we really don't need to commit because we got great plays. You know, I thought Ferrante did a really good job last night running the football. I think our running game has gotten a lot better from last season. Last season we had no running game, basically. You know, it was Luke throwing the ball 40 times a game, and that was the only thing we could do offensively. This year I think we're a little bit more balanced. We're very, very young at the receiver position. A lot of sophomores out there. So once we get those guys settled in, I think the offense will be a lot better. You know, but we just got to get those guys used to the physicality of Friday nights. You know, most of those guys played JV and freshman last year, and the speed of the game, especially with Mac 35 coming right out of the gate. I mean, you're talking about a lot of speed. So the speed of the game was a lot different. Central Lafourche, you know, we're breaking down the film. A little bit different than last year. I know last year it was more tight end, three wide oriented stuff. This year they're more spread, four wide stuff. So, you know, defensively it'll be a little different for us game plan wise. But, you know, we'll continue to work on that over the weekend, and we'll try to get it figured out before Monday.
Related to, COVID, that C word, everybody seemed to have been pretty good last night. Any issues with the protocol last night for your team?
No. You know, the kids are used to, you know, everything that we do now with the temperature checks. They know what to expect. They know they have to wear their face coverings on the sidelines. I thought we did pretty good with it. You know, it's a little different now on the sidelines, now that you can go 15 to 15 to space out. I think the kids are not quite used to that yet because they're used to having to stop at that point where you got it marked out on the turf, you know, where you got your line. So they still kind of don't want to creep past that 25-yard mark. But I guess as the season goes on, the kids will be more accustomed to it and will be better at it. And, you know, it's totally new for everybody. It's going to be a thing that we just need to adapt to it and continue to adjust.
Very good. Coach, we thanks so much for the time and good luck next week, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That is Chris Dugal with Thibodaux High School doing a good job as always. I got a feeling the Tigers are going to be A-okay as they go through the rest of their schedule. Some scores around the state of Louisiana stand. Last night, Acadiana 21, Lafayette Christian 0. That is some big-time athletes, big-time playmakers in that one.
Yeah.
Cecilia, our buddy Dennis Skanes getting a 54-13 win over Crowley. Kudos to Coach Skanes. How about this one? I tried to find the answer to this. I couldn't find it. When was the last time West Monroe was shut out in a game? 16 for Karen Crow, West Monroe 0. Stan, you'd probably have to go back decades to find the last time West Monroe played 48 minutes of football and didn't score a point.
It may not have ever happened before, quite honestly. I was very surprised. As a matter of fact, I thought that was a misprint last night. I thought it might have been reversed, but it is true, 17-0.
Hanville 49, Higgins 0, so Hanville's still awfully good. Also awfully still also awfully good, easy for me to say. John Curtis 28, Landry Walker 0. So John Curtis is still good. Surprise, surprise. Livonia 28, right. Port Allen 22. Lafayette 41, Patterson 3. Let's see if we could get another couple of scores here. Rummel 41, Hammond 0. Scotlandville 13, Captain Shreve 9. Santamont 35, Denham Springs 13. St. Charles Catholic 17, Slidell 0. St. Thomas More, they're also very good. 56-17 over Plaquemine. Stan, COVID has not seemed to slow down some of the state powers. One final score, Zachary 41, St. Aug 32. the teams that used to be good are still pretty doggone good.
Yeah, most of those scores held true to what we thought they would be. Destrehan had a tough one with St. Paul last night. St. Paul's a good program, though, so you don't put too much or think too much about that. 22-14, I think, was the final in that one. An interesting statement by Coach Dugas real quickly. He mentioned that the kids can actually go past that 25-yard mark. In other words, the sideline markers are extended all the way down almost to the end zone. I think he goes down to the 10 or maybe the 5. It's interesting that if you have a natural turf field, when you're marking off the field, you can make your entire player box go all the way down there. But if you have a turf field, it's pre-marked, right? Because obviously it's ingrained into the turf. So I noticed at the Vanderbilt game on Thursday night, the kids were stretched all the way down on both teams, Berwick and Vanderbilt Catholic. But when I went to a game last night at Tom B. Smith and they were playing at turf, it looked like the kids were scared to go all the way down because of that marker. So I just throw that in there. I know it doesn't mean a whole lot, but it sure is nice for the coaches, man. They're getting way down there to the 10-yard line to call plays when they're in a goal line or a red zone situation. So that makes it a little easier.
Hey, guys. Speaking of Tom B. Smith, Truck, what you got?
The mask issue, the kind that wraps around your neck completely, a lot of kids wear those. They're not allowed to use those on the field. And last night we had 5-6 central players that got removed out of the game so they could remove the mask because it could potentially be something that a defensive player could grab for a tackle. So
that's right.
They have to remove them.
Earlier
this
week,
point.
The Louisiana High School Athletic Association made the rule that you can't wear the gaiter on the field. You can wear it on the sideline, but can you imagine if you get told by your coach to hustle into the game, you have to actually pull that thing off of your head because, and it's a good point, you could get tackled by that thing and it could cause a lot of problems. So I thought that would have been an issue, but like I said, the games that I attended, it went off pretty clean, and I didn't see anybody wearing that type of mask.
How they say it, the new normal. That's the new world in which we live, figuring out what mask you can wear, what mask you can't wear. But we got one weekend, and we've got 7 more to go. Let's catch a break when we get back. Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill, we know he's going to be excited. His team scored a 7-point rivalry win over South Terrebonne last night. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer, and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you's AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin-backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
And welcome back. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 FM. We go to the phone lines now. Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill on the line. Coach Hill, good morning, man. How are you?
Smiling at least, but I'm doing well, and it is a good morning.
Absolutely. Your team got a thrilling win last night against South Terrebonne, a shootout victory. Talk to us about the way your guys played.
I guess we started off a little bit overhyped or amped up, and didn't settle in real good early, and we got down quick, but we found a way to, you know, start scrapping back into the game, and it seemed like every time we got to where we had a chance to, you know, maybe take the game under control, get the momentum, we would find a way to give it right back, and it seemed like we were finding ways to lose, but, you know, the fourth quarter was big for us to come out and start putting some things together and found a way to get a win against a very scrappy and well-coached South Terrebonne team.
I thought, just in watching the game last night, that maybe the big play, the play that really flipped the switch, and I realized Jalen Lucas was tremendous last night, but I think the kid was Chavez Brown who returned a punt. And when he returned the punt, his will to get in the end zone just looked like he kind of inspired and fired up you kids. I found out later that night that South Terrebonne's dictate to their punter was to punt every punt out of bounds, and he certainly paid for that one, keeping it on the field of play. Special teams was big for you last night. Talk about that and what it did for the kids.
That was one thing we tried to work on a lot while we were, you know, kind of restricted and limited. So I was hoping our special teams would be able to be big for us early in the year. And we've got some really able returners, so every time we get on special teams, our sidelines do kind of get excited to see if we're going to be able to get the ball in our hands and do something with it. And we were able to, you know, kind of turn some momentum right there before half, and it really gave us a shot in the arm as far as just having a little bit more excitement and to kind of come back into a game where we were down on ourselves and trying to figure out what was what early. But, you know, to get that opportunity, we took advantage of it. And, you know, special teams make a big play, you know, but they got one right back there in that, you know, at the end in the second half when we messed up the sky kick and decided to turn the ball over instead of just, you know, wait for fair catch and get it, you know, get the ball back in our offense's hands. And we gave them an opportunity to take the lead back. And, you know, we paid a price for that one as well. So, you know, special teams are going to be big early in the season for everybody, and everybody's going to have to clean them up, and we're just trying to get to where we can get better each week and be able to compete.
Coach, you had a young man last night account for 442 total yards. Just talk about the luxury of that being on your side and not on the other side.
Yeah, you know, Jalen's a kid that we knew he was going to be special. You know, we've had some special kids the last few years, but he's kind of a combination of two of the last ones. You know, he's got the quickness of Keyshawn and the vision of Keyshawn, but he's got the top end of his brother in Ja'Kai. So, you know, putting those two things together gives you what you got with him. He's explosive. and he's got some vision, and he can make some things happen. So, you know, he had a big night for us last night, and, you know, we got to get some other guys involved. It can't always just be him, but, I mean, I think we ran maybe two or three plays, and he had over 250. You know, so he can change the game in a heartbeat, and if he can get loose, he can make you pay.
And listen, it's not just against Al Terrebonne that it looks like he's got that kind of spark. It looks like he could do this against anybody, including your next opponent, Hornville, next week. It did look like, you know, like you had the ball at the 3-yard line, your own 3-yard line in the fourth quarter, and needed something big to happen, and a lot of teams might have just kind of sat. He goes 97 yards, so obviously he could do this at any time. It seemed as though your defense was playing well enough that if South Terrebonne were to score, especially if they had a long field to travel, that they were going to have to sustain a drive of 7, 10, even maybe more plays. What a luxury it is to go to the house just about every play. I saw Jalen Lucas do it, but we don't want to pass on other guys you have on that team because I saw some other kids who have the capability. You feeling pretty good about the offense right now, or it's still a huge work in progress?
I think we're a big work in progress to, you know, try and get everything involved when they try and start taking away certain things. We've got to recognize, and we've got to get some other guys more involved. You know, it was nice to have Jalen have his 400, and, you know, as a coach, you sit back and you think, okay, how do I get other guys involved? But, I mean, there's a couple of times, you know, we ran one play, two plays, touchdown, and, that you know, you're limited on how you get other guys involved. So, you know, when he touches it, if it's going, we're not going to tell him to quit scoring. So, you know, that's the luxury of that. And then the flip side of that is your defense goes 6-7 plays, gets off the field, and they're right back on. So we got to find some ways to get better and get off the field a little quicker. And if we get, you know, to where we got to start putting drives together on offense to be more consistent and get more people involved.
Coach, very few high school quarterbacks could test the defense vertically, but their quarterback could. Talk about the challenges that Arsenal presented to your secondary and how you think your secondary held up.
Oh, Christian's a real good quarterback. I mean, he's tremendous at the control of that offense they got with the wing T spread type principles. And, you know, he's big. He throws the ball well. He makes great decisions. So we had to do a lot of things that were right to kind of limit the ability of him to just throw the ball and get those big plays on the other side. And I thought there on that last drive, you know, he extended a play because he can run the ball too. And he was able to loft it over one of our guys, and they got him in scoring position there towards the end. And, you know, that's one of the things that he's going to bring to that team is when he gets in trouble, you got to make sure you tackle well and you got to make sure you wrap him up. And if you give him any kind of stuff in the secondary where he's got an open man, he's great at finding them, and he's a good locator of the football. And I thought we got better as the game went on, and we broke up a few key passes that could have been touchdowns for him, and we made some great plays. And then the final play of the game on offense for him, we were in the right spot, and, you know, he threw a ball, and we were able to go up and get it and get the interception and close it out.
After looking at film of the game last night, good or bad, anything that stood out to you that you just didn't realize after the game was over last night? It took film to kind of, I don't know, highlight that?
You know, we got, you know, sideline stuff on the field now, so I kind of knew it during the game, but I think we got to do a better job of tackling. We got to get a little more physical in the run game and play a little tighter in the box. It was an improvement over the Vanderbilt game, scrimmage, I should say. You know, we've made some improvements, not as much as we wanted. Offensively, I think we got better up front a little bit. We blocked a little bit better. We still got a long way to go there. You know, it's just one of those things that when you didn't get the summer and you didn't get the spring, now we're starting to get to where I think our brains would be when we're going into fall camp, you know, when you still couldn't put pads on us, where I feel like we are now, where we know where kids are starting to fit into positions because contact is happening. And then we've seen how they compete against others. And we're finally getting to that point where we start making some adjustments and, you know, start teaching off the weaknesses that you see in live football that you didn't get to see before. Because it's a lot different when it's on air, and it's a lot different when you're not having contact. And, I mean, what are we in, about 8 practices with pads, and we're going into week 2? And it's very difficult to to be prepared for that, especially when you got a young team like we do. But we're going to figure it out, and we're going to find a way to compete and try to have the best season we can.
Coach, congrats on the win. Thanks for the time. Good luck in week two.
Thank you.
Sir, that is Gary Hill with Terrebonne doing a great job. His Tigers are going to be taking on Hanville next week on the road, and I think that's going to be a good barometer for where both of those teams stand, because I certainly think Terrebonne is very good. But here, as Stan, as you know, there's the difference between being very good and being river good. We're going to find out on next Friday if Terrebonne is river good.
Yeah, and it's hard to judge Hanville, quite honestly, because they played Higgins, and Higgins has been traditionally not very good. So you sort of don't know, and you coach air at Hanville with Coach Luquette. The one thing about Terrebonne that I took from the game last night is there's still a lot of athletic talent. There's still a lot of good play individually. There's still a lot of good. So overall, still a lot of good. But they are inexperienced. There's a lot of names that we've been calling for a number of years that you just are not calling anymore. I know that Mason Smith and Caden Lewis on that defensive line are really good. But, you know, there's 11 guys back there. So there's some other things that have to happen, too. So that all being said, I think there are some, you know, questions out there for Terrebonne, and they're going to be answered next week. This game last night against South Terrebonne is a great game for Terrebonne to have out of the way. You win it, you're probably going to get a few PowerPoints along the way from South Terrebonne. It was a competitive game, and it gets you ready for a Hanville team next week. I didn't ask about their injury situation, but I think they came out of it pretty clean. So, man, they're jumping, you know, sort of out of the frying pan right into the fire next week with Hanville. But it is what it is. That's the world we live in today with the pandemic.
Hey, man, can't wait to see the week two results. Let's catch a break. We've spent 1 hour talking high school. Now we've got to talk about stuff that maybe isn't going to be as fun, LSU and the Saints. It's going to be hour two of the Sports Corner coming up right out of this break on ESPN 100.3.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
This is Mike to tell you, if you love having the weekends to do special things, at Neal's Small Engine, you will find everything you need to keep your lawn nice and neat. We have Gravely and Skag Zero Turn lawnmowers and Echo, Shindawa and Steel Trimmers, blowers, and chainsaws. Our showroom is the biggest in the South. So if you want the best products along with the best service, there's only one place to go. That's Neal's Small Engine Incorporated. 3 locations to serve you in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodaux. It's the best on the bayou.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Houma, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
She says, just like Marie Antoinette, building a remedy.
It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center, the Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and also on KLEB. Stan, what the heck happened? Last Saturday we were talking about the LSU and Mississippi State game, and I'm not surprised that LSU didn't look very good on the field. Heck, I was the guy who predicted that they would play like they did against Oregon State in 2004, which was an ugly game. But to give up 600 passing yards and to fall on your sword, it was an ugly, shoddy performance. And I think that we've got to see a little more from this team because, whew, week one was rough. Now, you don't have Derek Stingley. You don't have any practice time to prepare without him. I get all that. But 600 yards allowed in the secondary, that's pretty tough to deal with.
First of all homage to Trug Gisclair.
Yes.
He called it. You know, I sent you a note right after the game was complete and said, man, Trug, I'm going to Vegas with Trug. If, you know, I didn't see it coming. I actually, if folks remember from last week, I thought LSU would win going away. There was a chance they would struggle. I get it, but you weren't going to lose the game, right? And unfortunately, things didn't go well. I was just surprised at how wide guys got open sometimes. Sometimes the missed tackles down the field, that was a little disturbing. And I get it. You lost everybody. I find myself in sort of a strange situation this week. I agreed with everybody when they talked about the LSU game. When folks would say, you needed to understand LSU lost to everybody. No team has been decimated with loss like this team after a national championship. So you should have seen this coming. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. And then for the other folks who say, hey, wait a minute, if you want to be one of the elite, if you want to be an Alabama or a Clemson or a Ohio State, you not necessarily totally reload, but you don't go out and lose to Mississippi State. And I thought about it, and I would go, yeah. So I guess I don't know where I stand on this too much, but I know this. Mike Leach is an interesting character who I happen to like. I just like his demeanor and such. He did some things, and they worked. And Mississippi State played fairly good defense also and not a good start for LSU. And I'm going to use the words of Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago when after his first game and he didn't play so well or Green Bay was in a little trouble, he said, relax. I agree with that. We need to relax. Now, if they go out and lay an egg tonight, then we might have a little problem.
So is there a possibility here that – in late December, January, we're looking back and watching a Mississippi State team who just finished going 7-3 or 8-2, and maybe this loss won't look as bad as it did on the surface because they're now in the top 25. They're now number 16 in the country, taking on Arkansas today. KJ Costello, the graduate transfer quarterback, maybe he's just a player. And you know, I guess LSU fans could hope at this point that Mississippi State is maybe just better than what meets the eye.
Well, the King kid is certainly a good running back, and we knew he was a good running back coming to this game. So, you know, defensively, if Mississippi State holds up that end of the deal, the problem is in the SEC, obviously you have Alabama who's in the way, but you got a Florida team who is pretty good. You got a Georgia team who, although I don't think they're great by any stretch of the imagination, I think that perception is that they're good. So for whatever reason, Georgia always sort of gets that pass, you know. And so you got Georgia. You just have teams in the SEC where it's so tough week in and week out. And I don't know if Mississippi State can sustain week in and week out. Certainly not like the LSU team did from last year. But the other thing we have to consider is that that LSU team from last year, there's going to come a time we're going to look back at it. We may very well, and a lot of people already have them there, we might put them as the best collegiate football team ever. So, again, you know, we were a little spoiled from what happened last year. You and I kind of said this at one time, Casey, and I'll say it again. I've always thought, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and now, I've always thought that LSU being our flagship university in the state of Louisiana they should be in that number to be in that Final Four and playing for a national championship every year. I just think that you can corner the market in Louisiana. When's the last time you ever heard of a kid say something like, yeah, you know, I had a full ride to LSU to play football, but I chose to go to Tulane, or I chose to go to UL Lafayette. That doesn't happen in Louisiana. So part of me is saying, yeah, I hope that we could get to that point where, you know, you're not going to lose the opener to Mississippi State. I'm not sure we're there yet, but I do have faith that Coach Ogeron is a guy who can get us there.
Guys. So tell me about Miles Brennan. I'm sorry, what was that, Mr. Truck?
I was going to make a comment.
Go ahead.
We have three great running backs, but they're giving up 30, 40, 50 pounds to what Clyde Helaire had. He got the ball, and he got you 7, 8 yards on first down, where our current running backs are getting 2 and 3 yards. They don't have the leg power that we had last year. And obviously the quarterback is unproven. And three and out too many times, you will not win games.
Yeah, their defense was on the field an awful lot in the first half, and it's a good segue to what I was about to bounce off the stand is Miles Brennan, 27 of 46, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. One of the interceptions, his arm was hit. It may have been a touchdown. The guy was wide open. The other one was kind of a garbage time touchdown at the end. I thought that for all of LSU's woes, I thought that given it was his first start, I thought Miles actually played pretty well. He has to be more decisive in the pocket. He got sacked 7 times, and a lot of those were, he was just quite frankly holding onto the ball a little bit too long. But I thought, you know, it's so strange because for a decade, the argument around LSU was quarterback, 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 and they lose a ball game on Saturday, and I thought the quarterback was actually okay. It's the first time in a long time that LSU loses a football game that we can't point back to quarterback play as much as we normally could.
No, I'll go back to what Truck just said. They didn't run the ball for 100 yards in this game.
Yeah.
They did not get 100 yards rushing. They get 100 yards rushing. That takes a lot of pressure off of Miles Brennan, quite honestly. I thought he got better as the game went on. Statistically, it was the best opening day for an LSU quarterback ever.
Statistically. By a lot.
I'm talking about a new quarterback, not necessarily an opening day game, but by a new quarterback. So you still look at that and you go, now I just saw something on College Game Day that did surprise me a little bit, and it makes me go, he ranked 14th out of the 15 quarterbacks that played in the SEC last week, or 15 quarterbacks, that's what they had up there, as far as his quarterback rating. So that made me kind of think, oh, well, that's not very good. I thought he played okay. I'm with you, Casey. I thought he played okay. I'm actually with Truck also, because I think it was the run game that cost them in this particular game because they could get nothing going. It doesn't look like they have that back out of the backfield like you had with Clyde Helaire Edwards either. I'm not saying these three guys are not going to turn into or be very good for the Tigers this year, but in this particular game, it just looked like, boy, and I don't want to pin this on coaching either because I'm not sure that was the case. It's just, it looked lethargic. It looked like they never could get in any kind of rhythm, and maybe Mississippi State had something to do with that.
Do you think that they need to pick one and feature one? Because last year, early in the year, LSU's offense wasn't as good as it was in the back end of the year, and whenever that offense went into the next gear was whenever they really featured Edwards-Helaire. Because you remember at the beginning of the year, they were using Leonard Fournette a lot. They were using John Emery a lot. But in the second half of the year, they said, Edwards-Helaire, you're getting the ball 30 times, period. Do you think that they've got to pick one of those guys and say, hey, you're our guy? Because I think running back is a position where you get better as the game goes on. And on last Saturday, they gave three guys all about 7, 8 touches. And I feel like they were all kind of out of sync because of it.
Yes, that's the short answer to what you just asked. Yes, as a coach a long time in high school football, you can't sit and try and make everybody happy. And I'm not saying that's what LSU is doing, because I realize these guys are probably working hard at practice, and they see things at practice, and they're trying to get the best situation for what's going to make that team successful. But, yes, a running back needs to get into the groove of the game. Look, on the high school level, that's what happened with Jalen Lucas last night of Terrebonne. In the first quarter, he had a couple of runs where he had losses. It took him a little time to get his mojo together. So, yes, I agree with you on this, or if you are stating that. I'm not sure that was your point of view, but I do think that there is a running back who needs to stay in the fold and get going in a game, and that's what Clyde Edwards did last year.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100% as well. So let's catch a quick break. LSU, a 21-point favorite today, 6:30 p.m. on the SEC Network. When we get back, we're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints. Oh, yeah. They've got a 1-2 start and a bunch of starters out before a road trip to Detroit tomorrow. And also some news from the NFL regarding the coronavirus. Another game has been postponed. All that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.
Saunders and Chabert Attorneys at Law have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabert through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabert specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabert, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
Tired of slow internet speeds or trying to watch everything on your phone? Vision Communications has a special 50-50 offer just for you. 50 megs at your home for only $50 a month. You will be connected for everything, streaming TV shows, surfing, and playing games. And Vision's 50 megs will keep everyone in the house happy at a great price. This offer is for your first 6 months of service and is for new internet customers only. As always, you will get the personal service you deserve from Vision. For offer details, visit us at viscom.net.
Big news coming out of the NFL is that another game has been postponed by the coronavirus. We already knew of the postponement of the game involving the Titans and the Steelers, but now the Patriots and the Chiefs are not going to be played after Cam Newton has tested positive for the coronavirus. So the NFL is not looking so hot right now as a couple of games have bit the dust. Also not looking so hot is the New Orleans Saints injury report. Not COVID-related at all, just beat up with injuries. The Saints are 1-2. They're going to be taking on Detroit, and they're without six starters in the game. Number one, cornerback Marshon Lattimore. Number two, cornerback Janoris Jenkins, Andrus Pete, Marcus Davenport, Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, all out. And you're taking on a Detroit team that, though they're 1-2, they have been playing tough. They played Green Bay pretty tough. They played the Bears pretty tough and are just coming off of a road win against Arizona. So we've actually got Willie here who's going to comment on this in a second. But first, Stan, your thoughts on that Saints injury report, because, man, it's ugly.
I didn't even know it, quite honestly, until last night. I was listening to the pregame with you and Brian before the Selfless game, and I heard you mentioning it to Brian, and I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was that extensive. I don't know how you go in that game and you win. This is a defense of the Saints that's not very good, and you're telling me Marshon Lattimore is not playing and Jenkins is not playing? I don't know how you win the game, quite honestly.
So, Willie, you're our Saints guy, man. Tell us what your thoughts. The Saints are 1-2, and it looks like they're in a position where they're going to have to pull a rabbit out of their hat here if they want to go on the road and beat Detroit.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one this week without both starting corners in Lattimore and Jenkins. But, I mean, luckily for the Saints, they have experience. You have Patrick Robinson, you have P.J. Williams, and you still have your core and your linebackers. So hopefully, and Cam Jordan, I mean, Cam Jordan does a lot of talking for not registering a sack this season. So, I mean, he said it starts with him. All right, man, Cam, we waiting. It starts with you. We waiting.
So here's the, like, do you guys think, and it's still awfully early in the NFL season, and, well, heck, given the COVID outbreaks, it might be awfully late, depending on what perspective you're looking at it from. But for the Saints, you're 1-2. Since beating Tampa Bay in week one, Tampa Bay's looked incredible. Is this a must-win on Sunday?
Definitely.
I think it is. Yeah, I don't know how Willie feels about it, but I definitely think it is. I think you've gotten to that point where, you know, and if you're losing to a team like Detroit, you got some of the teams you're going to see down the line. Of course, there's always the Falcons who you could get two wins against, no matter what's happening in the fourth quarter.
No, I don't think so, because the Falcons always play us. They only play us tough. They only play the Saints tough. That's it. So we always split that series.
That's a good point, Willie. I agree with that. The Falcons do play the Saints really well every year. I just think they're going to be in trouble if they lose this game, but I heard a statistic yesterday which really blew my mind. I hadn't thought about it that much. The last 18 possessions of the Saints' opponents in the last 2 weeks, the last 18 possessions, guess how many times the Saints forced a punt?
Not many.
One. You've got it. Can you imagine that? Your opponent has had the ball 18 times and you could only force them to punt once? Something's way, way wrong. You know, now,
so,
and my little conspiracy theory real quick is, too, these flags against the Saints make me wonder a little bit.
Yes, Emmanuel Sanders made a comment on that, too.
I don't think it's costing them the games by any stretch of the imagination, but it makes me wonder, and I would love to hear Willie's comment on what you and I said last week, Casey, related to, is there a problem with Drew Brees and the way he throws the ball, and is it his time? Because Willie had some strong arguments last year. So, Willie, when it's your turn up, tell us a little bit about your Drew Brees thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Well, I think, yes, it's his time, yeah, because, like, people say his arm is shot. Like, it's shot. We know it is. But in another sense, he doesn't have his security blanket out there either. Like, his first look, if you watch Drew Brees, his first look is always at 13. If 13's not there, then he goes through his progressions. Without 13, it's like he's seeing ghosts. Like, he doesn't know, okay, I don't know who's open. Like, he doesn't trust. I seen a play where there's multiple receivers open, but he just doesn't trust anybody to throw the ball. So he was just like, the only person I trust is 41. So I'm just going to check it down.
So here would be a question that I would like to ask both of you guys is, we've heard from Sean Payton, and we've heard now for more than a year from Sean Payton, Taysom Hill's the next guy. And I saw on Sunday Taysom Hill blatantly misread a zone read, which caused a fumble, and then also on the same sequence, drop back to pass, have a receiver streaking down the field wide open, and couldn't pull the trigger and decided to run. So is he really the guy to be the heir apparent to Drew Brees? Because I'm beginning to have big doubts.
You actually answered that question for me last year when you talked about his completion percentage on the collegiate level. That sort of blew my mind. If you can't do that at BYU, if you can't have at least 60% completion, and which is not particularly good, then there's a problem there. So that worries me a lot. And the other thing is, we talk about these reads by Taysom Hill. I don't think they're reads anymore. I think when Taysom Hill's in the game, he's running with the football, you know. And I think everybody else has figured that out too. Now, obviously, it was a game changer the other night, because when that happened, when he fumbled that ball, you could tell all the air was let out the balloon, and it was just a bad deal. So yeah, I don't think he's the future of the Saints at quarterback.
Willie?
Me either. It's like, you're going to have to throw the ball, man. It's like, Sean Payton putting you in the game because he knows Drew Brees can't take shot plays. So he putting you in the game for shot plays, and you missed the receiver open. you have to throw the ball. I'm a famous Jameis guy. So, hey, man, Jameis, get ready.
Oh, man, famous Jameis. Goodness gracious. They would be scoring a little more, but they would be turning over the ball like a bakery as well. Maybe he could give them a little bit of a spark. We'll see. Fellas, we've got about 3-4 minutes left in this segment. Let's take a little bit of a time to appreciate the train wreck that is the Atlanta Falcons. For the second straight week, they blew a big lead. They're now 0-3, heading to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. It's not quite frozen yet. But wouldn't it be such an Atlanta thing to do to blow a lead again? How does Dan Quinn still have a job?
I said the same thing, and I don't think they're going to blow a lead because they're never going to get one. The Packers are going to blow them out.
I agree with that. I think that, well, I wish I had Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback in fantasy football this week because I think he's going to run it up. I do like Matt Ryan. Listen, I like Matt Ryan. Seems like, and that look when they have the cameras panning on him at the end of the fourth quarter and they just gave up a big lead, that look in his eye is like, oh, my God, what is going on? They are just snake bit. And only for him. No other reason. Only for him. Sometimes I feel a little bad for the Falcons. But otherwise, I pretty much could care less.
Fellas, 2 weeks in a row. This is an interesting stat here that will blow your mind. For 2 weeks in a row, they had a Stats Inc. win probability of 99% or greater and lost. That's the only time, listen to this, the only time that has ever happened in the history of the big major sports leagues, any league, baseball, basketball, whatever, that a team has had a 99% or greater win probability and lost two games in a row. That's unbelievable.
So wow. Hypothetically, this week, let's assume they're going into the fourth quarter and they are up by 17 points against Green Bay. Do you think that percentage is going to be the same by Stats or ESPN or by anybody going forward?
I think it's going to be because it's done by a computer, but if it were done by a human, no way in heck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of the human aspect of it. I would, if I'm sitting there putting that percentage on it, I'm going, okay, the Falcons up by 17. The Packers have them just where they want them. We have probably a 75% chance that the Packers are going to win this game.
How about the Bears, y'all? The Bears are 3-0, and the Bears are, you know, maybe finding something offensively. They sat down Mitchell Trubisky, played Foles in the second half, and you know, coming from behind and getting that win. Is this a situation where maybe they're kind of a sleeper team in the NFC North, or do you guys think that that's a little bit of a fluke? They play the Colts this week, so it'd be a good barometer of where they stand.
I think they'll be just fine because of, I think Mitchell Trubisky's play, like, bled into the defense. It's like, okay, we're going to get these stops, but can the offense move the ball? And now that they've seen that Nick Foles can move the ball, it's like they're kind of going to get their swagger back. It's like, okay, if we get a stop, I think our offense can do something with it. So I think they'll be just fine. I think they're going to give the Packers a run for the NFC North.
I disagree totally. I think that the teams the Bears were playing these last few weeks just sort of lost focus in the fourth quarter and thought they had the game won. And I'm not quite sure how the Bears won any of those games. It was like they were playing the Falcons the last 2 weeks.
They won the game against the Lions because of a drop. Yeah, I agree with that. If the running back catches the ball, that game's over.
I just don't see the Bears being relevant when it's all said and done. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe Foles goes in and he's the new guy, and he's done it before. He did it with Philadelphia, so maybe. But I don't see it happening.
So, very quickly, are you guys getting concerned that maybe we won't finish this thing? The Titans and the Steelers postponed because of an outbreak for Tennessee. The Patriots and Chiefs now postponed. And the bad news coming out of that is that now Chiefs players have also tested positive. So,
wow.
That's part of the reason why that game has been postponed. Are you guys getting a little bit nervous that maybe the wheels are kind of shaking on the bus here a little bit?
Let's be honest. I'm going to be honest. As a Saints fan, I hope they cancel it because we need to go back and reevaluate this whole thing because let's just cancel it.
I for society, for the world, for the United States of America, I hope we don't cancel it because it seems to be that we've woken up a little bit, you know, from the pandemic, and now I know things are not looking so good. I will say this, it's such a strange virus that
it only takes a few. You know, if a few guys on a team had flu-like symptoms, we wouldn't be stopping. But this thing is a different, and I get it. I'm not saying we shouldn't stop. But, boy, I would just hope for sort of our sanity that we can move on one day, and I don't see it in the future. So I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the MLB playoffs, which are rearing into high gear. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB, and also 102.7, the new KLEB.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
In early July, my phone was blowing up because of a statement that I made on this show. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. And Stan's going to have my back on this one. On this show, I said, before the MLB season started, watch out for the Miami Marlins. I think they could be a sleeper team. I like some of the offseason moves they made. I like their pitching. Lo and behold, they have won a first-round playoff series, sweeping the Cubs. They move on to take on the Braves. Stan, I'm not right often, so I got to puff out my chest the one time that I am. I hit it on the Marlins, man. Kudos to those guys on a job well done.
You did, and I can verify. You said that from the get-go. You thought there might be something a little special about this Marlins team. Interestingly enough, yesterday I'm thinking about it. The Marlins now take on the Braves, and I know you're a huge Braves fan, so you sort of can't lose in this situation. If the Braves win, you're a happy camper. If the Marlins win, you could say, I knew the Marlins were pretty good. So it kind of goes both ways for you there. Remember this. You mentioned that you thought the Marlins had a shot. And they were really surprising you as to their play. And then I think they went into a COVID funk a little bit, where that's when they had to cancel a bunch of games. And we sort of forgot about them. You know, we just put them on the back burner. But here they are. And to think, a year, 2 years ago, we were laughing at the Marlins as being the worst, the absolute worst franchise maybe in all of sports. And now, you know, it seems like they're getting things together just a little bit.
So here's what I thought would happen. And I got to say, I really liked the shorter MLB season. And I thought I was going to not like the expanded playoff, but and I could see where in a 162-game season it would be even unfair to have an expanded playoff because it's, you know, taking such a small variance thing and making it into a high variance thing, having short series and everything like that. But I've really enjoyed the last couple of days watching teams play do-or-die baseball, and I thought that it was very entertaining. I don't know how they're going to expand the postseason in the future, but at least for this year, what they did worked. I enjoyed watching the teams play those best of threes. It had a little bit of extra oomph because, hey, even the top teams in the sport had to win or go home. And in this case, the number one and number two seeds in both the NL and AL took care of business and moved on. Exactly what you would expect to see happen.
Yeah, kind of those middle range teams that had a little bit of trouble in this thing. I agree. I truth be known, I did not pay a lot of attention to some of the regular season games during the COVID period. But as the playoffs came around, I started to get amped up a little bit. And I'm an Astros fan. I've said that before. And I don't think what they did last year was right. And I know a lot of people thought they should be punished severely. But I thought, as an Astros fan, the best way to come out this year and say, hey, we did some things we shouldn't have done last year, but we do want to prove that we're still a good ball team. It wasn't just those things that got us over the hump. Well, they're kind of proving it. So, yeah, it's rejuvenated me just a little bit. Playoffs always do in all of the sports except for basketball because I just didn't want to see the Lakers win at all. And it's like that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, I've been really pleased with what's going on in baseball to this point. I like the playoff system. And although I agree with you that it would be a little bit too much to do in a regular full season, this year, I think it's just the right thing.
What a coincidence that now we've got eight teams left, and there are no teams in either Central Division left. So we've got two matchups in each aside that are going to be virtually division championship matchups, basically, you could say, between the Western and Eastern Divisions. In the AL, you've got the Astros and the A's, two teams from the West. They're going to be locking horns. You've got the Yankees and the Rays, two teams from the East who are going to be locking horns. In the NL, you've got the Braves and the Marlins, as we talked about a minute ago, and the Padres and the Dodgers. I know it doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of a goofy little quirk of the bracket that the Central Divisions have been completely swept clean.
Interestingly enough, especially in the National League, you're talking about tradition, too, when the Cubs and the Cardinals are knocked out. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would have liked to have seen that just from a perspective of we want that traditional strong team, that, dare I say, Yankees-type team in the Cardinals, and obviously a lot of people love the Cubs around the country. But no, right up the alley or right up the gut of America, we don't have any teams. Now, to categorize Houston as being a team from, you know, out west or whatever is a little strange. But nonetheless, you're right. It's East Coast versus West Coast.
So now the MLB is going to be moving into their bubbles. They're going to be playing these first-round series. The Astros and A's will be playing in L.A. The Yankees and Rays will be playing in San Diego. The Padres and Dodgers in Arlington, Texas. Marlins and Braves in Houston, Texas. And then after that, the winners of those NL and AL series, the NL will be moving to Arlington for their championship rounds. The AL will be moving to Los Angeles for their championship rounds. And in the championship series, whenever the teams are playing for a pennant, fans will be allowed into the stands in a limited capacity. So it's going to be great to see playoff baseball, but it's also going to be great to see people enjoying playoff baseball in person. I think that that's going to be a welcome sight.
Yeah, we see these games on Sunday related to the NFL, and it's still just not right to see nobody there. Even if it's 25%, I think that crowd noise, because I don't know about you, Casey, I'm starting to get aggravated with this piped-in crowd noise, because whoever's controlling that, they obviously have not been to very many football games before, or if they have been, they just don't know when to turn it up and turn it down. But, you know, that 25%, I understand that even at the LSU game last week, that 25%, which was about 21,000 people, made a lot of noise. So I hope we can at least allow some people back, not only Major League Baseball, but into everything going forward. Of course, these games being canceled by the NFL this week are not going to help that, I'm sure, too much.
So give me a pick in the AL and the NL, my friend. You know I got to ask you that. I'm going to give you mine in a minute. Who you think is going to come out of this thing?
Well, the National League, by, you know, everything, by default, by you have to, and I'm going to think with my head and not with my heart, the Dodgers, obviously. It looks like they're kind of steamrolling through this. Are you talking about to go all the way through, or are you talking
about who you think is going to win the two pennants?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Dodgers. I do think your Braves are going to get there, but I think the Dodgers are ultimately going to take it all. And on the other side, whoo, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to think again with my head just because I think all the stars are lining up for the Yankees again. I know it doesn't look like it, and I do hope that Tampa could come up and beat them, but I think the Yankees might get in. I think the Astros, if they can win this series, might have a shot, but I do think it's going to be the Yankees. So, boy, wouldn't Major League Baseball love it if it was the Dodgers and the Yankees?
No doubt. I'm going to go a little bit opposite of you. I think Tampa Bay is out of this world good. They've got so many arms. One thing that's going to be fun about that Rays and Yankees series, I know you said you didn't pay too much attention to the regular season. Those teams hate one another. Hate with a capital H. They were playing regular season games this year, throwing at one another and having, you know, a lot of fisticuffs. Those teams do not like one another. That's going to be a physical and chippy series. Look forward to seeing it. And in the NL, I mean, the Dodgers were already the best team, and then you add Mookie Betts to that before the season starts. It's going to take a freight train to slow them down. I think the Padres are a fun story. They've got a lot of good young players. Fernando Tatis Jr. is out of this world. Manny Machado, out of this world. I just don't think they've got enough, so give me the Dodgers in the NL. But I think that it may be the Rays' year. And wouldn't it be ironic that in a year without fans, the team that always plays without fans would win the World Championship?
Yeah, maybe they're sitting right at home right now, Casey, because I went to Tropicana last year, if you remember, and there was nobody there. And when I say nobody, when I watch these games now during the COVID situation, it looks like a Tampa Bay game. So, again, maybe they're right at home with all of this. So you talked about the chippiness of that series. Remember, I'm sure when the A's and the Astros hook up, that's going to be pretty chippy too. Yeah.
No doubt about it. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we're going to end with our pick'em segment. Stan, we've got to tighten up. We're getting hustled. We've got to buckle down, batten the hatches, and have a stronger week. Truck is hustling us. We'll give you the standings and make our picks. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer, and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
One segment to go here on the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We want to thank BJ Young. We want to thank Chris Dugas. We want to thank Gary Hill. We want to thank everybody at home for listening. It's been a wonderful show, and we hope you guys are enjoying your Saturday. Stan, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty guy?
Boy, I would be lying to you if my wife is listening right now, she would say I was lying to you if I said I was glass half full. A lot of times, I try and play it off as being realistic, right? So,
okay.
Unfortunately, a glass half empty more than a glass half full.
Okay, well, if you would have said glass half full, I would have said you and I are tied for second place right now. But because you said glass half empty, I would say you and I are tied for last place right now in our pick'em
okay.
competition. Truck is 22-6. We are 18-10. We are 4 games behind.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you what's happening, though. So we're sitting here and doing sports from 10 o'clock. We're hustling. We're getting the sports stories together. And Truck is sitting at that board with his tie in to Las Vegas now, and he's getting the answers. That's the deal. Nah, Truck, and you know what? When Truck makes his picks, he's always got valid points that kind of come through during the game. So I'm like, wait a minute, Truck's the guy who should be reporting the sports.
Dial 1-800, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So we'll try one more time. Texas A&M and Alabama, the first game. Number 2 versus number 13, you would think the spread would be pretty close. Alabama's an 18-point favorite, gentlemen.
Since we're just going heads-up competition, obviously I'm going to go Alabama. And, you know, that's what everybody wants to be in college football. And I think they are it in this COVID situation again this year. Alabama easy over Texas A&M.
It's at Alabama?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Alabama blowout.
I agree.
Texas A&M.
I was hoping, because it would have meant Texas A&M would have won the game. But with that having been said, I'm going to go Alabama. Texas A&M looked awful last Saturday, and I would have expected more from Kelly Mond. Auburn and Georgia may be the premier matchup in college football today. Number 7 versus number 4. Georgia is at home. They're a 7-point favorite, a touchdown favorite against Auburn.
I don't think being at home makes any difference in this one this year for sure. I'm going to go Auburn, man. I think Auburn's going to get it done.
I'm a Bulldog. I graduated Bulldog, and Georgia Dogs are going to bark and win.
This one's tough for me because I saw with my eyes Georgia looked pretty rough last week, but Vegas is telling me they're a touchdown favorite. I'm not going to go against Las Vegas. I'm going to go Georgia in this one reluctantly. I think it's going to be a very good game. LSU fans will be watching this one with bated breath because they want to see if the team that beat them last week is for real. Arkansas and Mississippi State. Mississippi State a big favorite, 17-point favorite. Stan, are they going to look good again this week?
Oh, yeah. I think they will. I think Arkansas is a better football team than what they've been in the past. But, yeah, I don't think this is going to be the challenge for Mississippi State. I think that comes down the line.
Too much state quarterback, Mississippi State.
Costello establishing perhaps an early Heisman Trophy candidacy. Mississippi State big over Arkansas. I think they score a bunch of points. Interesting game today. Oklahoma was in the same boat as LSU. They were in the top 5. Lost last week. Now they're going on the road to take on Iowa State, a team that has been their nemesis in years past. Oklahoma, a 7-point favorite on the road, playing for their season against Iowa State.
Oklahoma, I think they'll have a little chip on their shoulder, and they'll win it relatively easy. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
I agree. I saw Iowa State against UL Lafayette, and their offense is a little bit limited. I think they won't be able to score with Spencer Rattler and the Sooners, so give me Oklahoma. Interesting SEC game, kind of a under-the-radar SEC game. Ole Miss traveling to take on Kentucky, two teams that are not expected to compete for the conference championship. Kentucky is a 6-point home favorite in this one. I got to say, Ole Miss in their first game with Lane Kiffin, though they lost to Florida, they looked pretty explosive offensively in that game.
Ooh, this is a tough one, because I agree, man. They can really move the ball, but I understand their defense is horrible. Oh, wow. I'm going to go Ole Miss. I'm gonna trust in old Lane Kiffin, so I'll go Ole Miss.
Kentucky Wildcats.
Oh, man, this means I'm going to fall further behind.
Well, we've been picking the same, so that means y'all are washing out, so I got to give y'all a shot.
Hey, listen, I need to wait to pick last. Next week I get last, okay, Casey?
All right.
Let's do it. Stan will be able to go last
I'll
next
go
week.
First.
I'm going to I'll go Kentucky in this one. I don't trust Ole Miss's defense. I think Kentucky's going to bottle them up. So give me Kentucky. NFL game, this one's pretty tough. The Colts are 2-1, have looked better. Phillip Rivers settling into his role. They're traveling to Chicago, a tough place to play, to take on the 3-0 Bears. Indianapolis is a 3-point road favorite in this game.
Man, I worry about Phillip Rivers, just the consistency, but they've been playing well, and I just don't think the Bears are the real deal. So let's go Colts.
I'm going with Nick Foles.
Okay, Truck's going Bears in this one. I'm going to go against Truck in this one. I'm going to go Colts. I think that the Colts have an elite roster, and I think they're going to get just enough out of Rivers to win this one. Give me the Colts on the road. Two teams that no one in the world expected to be 0-3, the Vikings and the Texans. Vikings traveling to Houston. I mean, it's obviously a must-win for both of these teams. The Texans are a 4-point favorite at home in a game that both of these teams desperately need to have.
One of you two guys said it a couple of weeks ago, and I should have heeded your advice. You said it's just hard to go all in on Cousins. I'll go Texans this week, but, boy, I'm sure shaky on that pick.
I'm going with the home team, Texas.
It's
Texans.
A sweep for me, y'all. It's a sweep for me. I just don't see it in the Vikings this year. There's just something not right. Something is missing. On my podcast, I've said that I thought the Bills were a sleeper pick to win the Super Bowl. They're 3-0. They're traveling to Vegas to take on the Raiders, who are 2-1. Buffalo's a 3-point road favorite. Y'all, this is going to be a good football game. 3:25 tomorrow on CBS.
Buffalo. I have to think about that a little while, but Buffalo.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills. Go with Truck. Buffalo Bills.
See, this is hard for me because I think that Vegas is going to be very good at home this year, as we saw against the Saints. But Josh Allen is really good. He's improved a lot. I'm going to go Bills. It's going to be a sweep for me. I'm going to go Bills in this one, but I think this is going to be one whale of a game. Let's have some fun here, maybe at my expense. The Cleveland Browns are going to be taking on my Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys lost a hard-fought game against Seattle last week. The Cowboys are at home. They're a 4.5-point favorite. Vegas thinks it'll be a shootout over under 56 points.
Well, it's do or die for the Cowboys, I think. I mean, this is a game they have to have. So I'm going to go Cowboys, but I will say I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland does end up winning this game.
Browns.
Wow, I lost another one.
So Truck is going Browns.
Far behind. Vegas said to take Browns. I'm going Browns. I'm sorry.
I'm going to pick my Cowboys here, though I'm going to disagree slightly with Stan. I don't think it's a must-win game just because the NFC East is a dump. I mean, Washington is bad. The Eagles are bad. The Giants are bad. I think that they could win that division, winning 7 games. So, while in a traditional sense, yeah, I think it would be a must-win, I don't think that there's much urgency there, but I do think the Cowboys are going to prevail tomorrow against Cleveland. The Saints and the Lions are going to be locking horns tomorrow in Detroit. On paper, you would say that the Saints have a better roster. But the problem is this half of the Saints roster is unavailable for the game. They've got six starters who are out. And not just, you know, the punter and the kicker and the placeholder. They've got big guys out. Number one cornerback, number two cornerback, number one receiver, number one tight end. Stan, is this going to be too much for the Saints to overcome? Las Vegas doesn't think so. The Saints are still a three-point favorite on the road in this game.
Again, like I mentioned in the Dallas game, I do think this is pretty much a need-to-win game for the Saints. But, boy, I don't see how. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go Saints, and it's because of one guy, and that's Alvin Kamara. So let's go Saints.
A 12-3 prediction on Saints. They're going to be lucky to win nine games. I'm going Lions.
I got to agree with the boss on this one. I'm going Lions. I think the Lions are better than 1-2 would indicate. They've played tough against good competition. And if just 7 days ago they went on the road and beat Arizona, who I think is a very good football team, I think they're going to defend their home field and beat a beat-up Saints team. So give me the Lions in this one. And if the Saints' secondary isn't shored up, it could be the Lions by maybe more than a score. LSU is going to be traveling to Nashville, taking on Vanderbilt, a team that played Texas A&M close last week. This is going to be a rare SEC event, a game with no fans in the stands. Zero fans will be in Nashville today to watch LSU, who is a 21-point favorite in Las Vegas. Stan, LSU has to win this game. They're going to prevail, right?
Yes. I don't think this is I think they're going to win. Listen, if they don't win, Coach Ogeron is going to find out how far it is from the castle to the outhouse, that's for sure. I see no way that they lose this game.
LSU on a close call.
Oh, close call. Giving me nausea, Mr. Truck. Giving me nausea. I'm going to stand from before I make my pick. Give me a score. Truck said LSU close. Give me a score.
Wow. I think the final score would be 35-14, maybe.
So that's exactly what Vegas thinks. Vegas is saying over under 35 for LSU, over under 14 for Vanderbilt. So you're going exactly with what they think. So you're aligning with the casinos there.
Wow.
I'm going to go LSU 31, Vanderbilt 17, but I'll say the last Vanderbilt touchdown will be a garbage touchdown, and they'll have the game well in doubt. I hope that we're all right on that one. It's been the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Great show. Thanks to BJ Young. Thanks to Gary Hill. Thanks to Chris Dugas. Thanks to everybody for listening. Y'all, you couldn't ask for a better Saturday. Enjoy the sun. Soak up that vitamin D. Have a great and blessed weekend. Hope to see you guys at the games. God bless everybody.
All right, guys.
14, third-ranked Florida 14. We'll take a break. This is College Football on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app presented by Dr. Pepper.